thank y'all for coming. It's good to see you. And I don't know if that's a little turned up too much, Brother Don, but don't turn me off, though. I won't be singing. It's great to see y'all. I love coming and seeing y'all, and it is. Diane and I are just thrilled every time we have a service and we get to spend time with you guys. I'm not just saying that because I'm the preacher. We really enjoy coming here together with this our church family to worship the Lord. The title of the message is Tribulation and the Second Advent. Most of us Christians believe that we will be taken home by death or rapture before any tribulation really starts or happens. And by the way, that's supposed to start when Israel makes a treaty with Antichrist. So why would we preach about it? Why would we teach it? Jesus took a large portion of Scripture and took a lot of his time in this Olivet Discourse to teach about this. And I think it's worth our time today. I think it's worth us looking at this. And I know it was directed toward the Jews, toward Israel. And in the message, we'll see how we fit in there. But with the things going on in today's society and the thought of a coronavirus maybe circling the globe, the wars that they talk about on the news and the different things going on, a lot of Christians have perked their ears up and they're like paying attention to this stuff. And they're thinking, now wait a minute, we're not supposed to be here in the tribulation, and I think I'm looking at the tribulation about to happen. I do want to tell you this. If you study history, you'll find cycles. If you study history and look how God worked in the affairs of mankind, you're actually going to find patterns. And you're going to see that certain events foreshadow other events. I do really believe that you're going to see things that will foreshadow the tribulation happen even before our eyes. It won't be the tribulation. It won't be as bad as the tribulation. But it is going to almost mimic it. And I thought it was worth our time to go over it. Normally, this is not something you'd preach on a Sunday morning. This is what you'd teach in a seminar or using a whiteboard marker and draw this for last times. But I think we can do this, and I think you guys will understand it. Well, let's use this not just to educate ourselves, but let's use it to draw closer to Him and realize if the tribulation is that close, how much closer is the rapture of His church? Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to look into Your Olivet Discourse and see what You felt was so important to teach. Help us, Lord, to glean from it the things that we need to know to help us to draw closer to You, to serve You better, to love You more, to appreciate You even more. Lord, we love You. We thank You. We ask Your blessing upon the reading of Your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. And I'll begin reading in verse 1. This is one of those chapters, no matter how many times you preach it or go over it, you feel like you could do a better job later, and that's what you're going to feel. That's the way I feel. I feel like, well, you know, and God put this on my heart, and I really tried to run from it, and I couldn't get away from it, so I know He wants me to preach this today. Chapter 24, verse 1, and Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when His disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to Him. And He answered and said to them, Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here shall be left upon another, which will not be torn down. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? I want to go over the timeline. I'll stop there, verse 3 right now. This all started because the disciples just was telling Jesus, look at these buildings. They're amazing. I'm sure they were beautiful, the temple and all. And Jesus wasn't trying to put them down or discourage them, but he's basically letting them know there's not going to be one stone left upon another. And that was contrary to everything that you would think of. Even the Roman general Titus, this all happened later, what Jesus is talking about that would happen, happened in AD 70 under the administration of Titus. And the Roman general Titus actually wanted to preserve the Jewish temple. He told his soldiers, don't touch it, don't mess with it, leave it alone. And guess what? The soldiers in their excitement for sacking the city of Jerusalem and taking it over set the temple on fire. And they burned it. And when they burned the temple, the gold that had overlaid all the beautiful woodwork and there's gold over it, the gold actually melted, ran down, and went into the cracks between the stones. So you know what a soldier's going to do to get gold out of the cracks. It melted, it ran down in there, and it's in the cracks of these stones. So what did they do? They ripped the stones apart so they could pick the gold out of it. And that's exactly what happened, and that's what Jesus is talking about. Well, later on, the disciples want to come, and they want to ask Jesus these questions. They ask him three questions. One was about this incident with the temple, and he kind of answered it in a roundabout way, but he really focused on the next two questions they asked, and that was about the sign of his coming and the end of the age. And that's what we want to talk about today. You see, you got to understand the timeline, first of all. And I'll just run over it real quick. The first advent of Jesus, advent's when his feet are on the ground. That was what we read about at Christmas in Luke 2, the birth of Jesus. That includes his earthly ministry when he was walking around healing people and teaching the disciples. After he was taken back and he had paid the debt of our sin on the cross, we have this age of grace that we're living in now. And I'll just jump to that. And this age of grace is extended. It's today is the day of salvation, and this is the time period that mankind is supposed to receive him. Well, there's an event coming called the rapture. Jesus is going to come, and he's not going to touch the earth, but he's going to come in the clouds, and he's going to snatch us away, and we're going to be taken up, all those of us who are believers, by the way, and we're going to meet him in the air. And you find this written in Thessalonians. The rapture is the next thing on the horizon. And by the way, nothing has to happen. No prophecies, nothing to be fulfilled prior to the rapture. Everything has been fulfilled. The rapture is the next thing on the prophetic clock that's supposed to happen. And when I was a kid, after I was saved, I kind of understood some of this. I used to not want it to happen yet. I would want the Lord to hold it off, you know, so I could learn to drive a car, know what it's like to drive a car and this and that. And, you know, kids get ideas in their head, and it's kind of humorous now because I'm not going to need a truck or a car in heaven for sure. But then when you get older and you're in your 40s, 50s or above, you're like, Lord, come today. Come today. And the only reason we don't want him to come right this very minute is you're hoping somebody that you love or care about will get saved before. And that's the only thing. And God is just holding it back, and it can happen any time. After that rapture, and we are taken out, and the Holy Spirit that's in us, by the way. Every believer has the Holy Spirit in them. And when we're taken out of this place, guess what's going to happen? Can you imagine what the world will be like? As evil and violent as the world is right now, what would happen if you take all the Christians out of it? Just in the blink of an eye. You're going to see evil rampant. And then the tribulation is going to be in that. The beginning of the tribulation, of course, I mentioned that's the treaty that Israel make with Antichrist. And I'm going to preach about the tribulation, so I'm going to go ahead and skip. You got the tribulation, which is it's 7 years, but the first part of it, three and a half, the first half, I just call it the tribulation. The second half, the second 3.5 years, is the great tribulation. Of course, this was prophesied in the book of Daniel. Jesus even makes mention of it in this chapter, that it's in the prophecy of Daniel. And after the great tribulation, to answer the disciples' question, Jesus is going to come back. That's the second advent. And of course, he's coming back. He's already died. He came first time to die on a cross. He's coming back this time as the King. As the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It's going to be glorious. By the way, when he comes that time, he's not coming for his saints. He's coming with his saints. And that's going to be us. You say, you know, you mean I'm going to be there? I'm going to get... Yes. If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, you're going to be there. And we're all going to be there together if you're a believer. Let's look at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And at that time many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because of lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations. And then the end shall come." This is the first half of the tribulation in these verses through 14. And I want to talk about the first part of the tribulation. I titled the first part of it, and I labeled it pandemics. We talk about a pandemic with the coronavirus. It's more than just, we have a pandemic of a lot of things. There's a pandemic not only of a virus, there's a pandemic of violence, there's a pandemic of evil, there's a pandemic of hate. What's a pandemic? It's a worldwide outbreak of something that's destructive. In Revelation 6, we find, we're not going to turn there, but in Revelation 6, verses 12 through 17, you're going to find some riders that are riding horses. But these horses they're riding represent what they're bringing to the world. The first rider is riding on the white horse. This is the Antichrist, the false Christ. The very beginning, that's why I said the tribulation starts when he makes a treaty with Israel. He's going to come in not as an enemy, but as their friend. He's going to swoop in to protect Israel from the world. And they're going to fall for it. They're going to be led astray. And instead of honoring their true Messiah, they're actually honoring the opposite of him, the Antichrist on the white horse. The second horse is a red horse that comes. It's mentioned during this time of tribulation. The red horse and the rider on the red horse brings war. War. Red. Picturing the blood splattered war horse. You see, there's wars all over the world at all times. But yet wars are going to increase. You're going to see at this time a dramatic increase of disruption, fighting. And if you watch, you see today, I think we see the precursors to this happening today, actually. I mean, you say, well, I don't see anybody looking to the Antichrist. So many people have sold out to a religion that fits their God. They didn't make their religion fit the true God. No, they reinvented God to fit what they want. And you see that today. I see that just as accepting the Antichrist. You say, well, what about war? We look at it today, and I'm not talking about just there are wars between countries, but we're at war with one another. Whether it's in our politics, our families, there's feuds going on. Put it aside. Stop warring with one another. That can apply to us. The black horse was famine. The rider of the black horse brings famine and death. You see, God can withhold the rain and wipe out a flourishing civilization. They say Egypt was amazing. And they went back and they have records and they studied. And it was the lack of rain and the lack of water. And they watched Egypt go from a great empire to shrink down to nothing. You see, famine, starvation will do that. The pale horse brought pestilence, disease. And that's what we're dealing with the viruses. A lot of people would say in the 1800s, well, how could a disease get around the world? Well, we can see it today, can't we? The way people travel and fly, and it all goes around, it can spread faster than you can imagine. The next part of this tribulation period, the early part, I call persecution, starting in verse 9. And they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations on account of my name. You see, you're going to see more hatred toward God's people, to the Jews. You see attacks happening on the news, and they call it anti-Semitic attacks. You see not only that, you see attacks on Christianity too. Persecution is what I call it. It's coming out in physical attacks driven by hate. And it's not just a localized area. It's not just in New York. It's not just in a big city. It's worldwide. I had somebody say that Christians are being killed at such a rate. They're losing count of the record in foreign countries. And sometimes, like in America, we're like in a greenhouse. We don't realize what's really going on in other countries. But there is great persecution. But you know, when there's great persecution, there's also great movements of God. And you see people out there doing mission work, doing the things that God wants them to do. Persecution don't come in just physical attacks. Sometimes I wish it was only that, because you can see that coming sometimes. Now, persecution can also come in a spiritual attack. And in the spiritual attack, I include emotional or social attacks. Right now, if I asked you, if you're on the social media, and I asked you to raise your hand if you have been attacked for your faith on social media, I bet every one of you would raise your hand. Because if you're on social media and people find out what you believe, they're going to attack you. Persecution's going to be there. And you will see the worst mental cruelty. We talk about bullying, being so cruel. And how could these children bully someone? How could they be so cruel to bully someone? Well, I'll tell you, they watch the adults do it to each other. They've seen it. And that's what you see on social media. Spiritual attacks. They're out to persecute you because of your faith and belief. Also, it actually said here, there'll be those who will betray. They're going to deliver up one another and hate one another in the next verse, in verse 10 there. Betrayal. I tell you, that's something that gets to you because a lot of people that were raised in the old ways, old school people, they know what loyalty is, and betrayal hurts terribly. But the betrayal is going to be geared to turning them away from God, and they will despise one another. It says the love of many will wax cold. It's going to grow cold. There's like no concern about somebody else because everybody is serving self. And many actually will be put to death during this time of tribulation. And you say, well, Brett, how can we apply this to where we are now? I think where we are now, we do have some physical attacks going on. There are people that are being hurt physically because they're Christians, or they stand up for what's right, or because they're conservative, or because of this or that. I mean, on the news today, there's an episode where some people spit on the American flag and beat up some kids that were minding their own business. And you think, how could this happen in America? But they're doing it. You're going to see this. Today, there are people that are turning away from God because they're beginning to think, it's just not worth it. Well, let me tell you, this is the age that we need to preach. It is worth it. He is worth it. And this is where you got to stick to your guns and say, you know what?